Precious and Holy Father, we bow our hearts before you, Lord, thanking you, Lord, that you are Yahweh Shalom, Father, the Lord who has manifested a covenant of peace in our hearts and is continuing to persevere with us in the development of this covenant of peace, Lord. For we are a covenant people, Father, and we are being brought into an intimacy, O God, that knows you and loves you and belongs to you, Father. And we thank you for the persevering work of the Holy Spirit in unveiling your Son to us, because he is our peace, Lord. He is the Prince of Peace. And Lord, in him, O God, we realize the substance of the peace that will enable us, O God, to realize this awesome covenant, O God, that you mean to build and fashion into each one of us uniquely. For we are sons of God, and it is a unique covenant that you are fashioning within each one of us. A covenant, O God, that is personal. A covenant, O God, that enables us to become, O God, functioning members of the body of Christ. A covenant of peace, Lord. A covenant representing, O God, your victory in our lives. A covenant, O God, achieved through the blood of the Lamb. A covenant expressed in the faith and love of Jesus. A covenant, O God, that proclaims the life of Jesus realized within us. A covenant fashioned and formed in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. A covenant that you have achieved in our lives as your workmanship. Father, we bow before you for the word of the oath that is the basis of this covenant. The word of the oath that is being fashioned into our inward parts. The word of the oath, O God, that rises in us, O God, by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, in a living witness in spirit, water, and blood. That true and faithful witness, Lord, that enables us to unveil as a new creation in Christ Jesus. A new creation that is the amen of your will. A new creation that is truly conformed, O God, to Christ Jesus. A new creation, O God, that you have set apart unto your glory. And thank you, Lord, for we are sons of God, a royal priesthood, Father, a prophetic people, Father. We are called to reign, Lord, and we thank you that as this covenant is written, fashioned, formed, and perfected in our lives and completed into our beings, Lord, we are unveiling as a new creation that belongs to you, a new creation fashioned in your love, fashioned, O God, in the peace that you have purchased for us in the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Father. We thank you that we are blessed. We thank you, O God, for your goodness, your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for your perseverance. We thank you, O God, for the unique work that is being fashioned in each and every one of us and in each and every one of our brethren across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. We bless you that in the flesh of the Lamb, every enmity is being broken, Father, between male and female, between Jew and Gentile, between rich and poor, Father, between people of different races, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, we are being raised, O God, as members of the body of Christ. We are being raised as a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are being raised so that we will be a blessing to this universe that you have created, Father. So we bow before you as we look, O Lord, at all that you mean to achieve in each one of our lives in your righteousness, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on the subject of Yahweh Shalom. I just want to turn to Isaiah 54 again and just talk about this covenant of peace that is indestructible. This covenant of peace that God wants to fashion in each one of us uniquely. Isaiah 54 verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Praise the Lord. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies and your gates of crystal, and your entire wall of precious stones, and all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established, you will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work, and I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Yahweh Shalom, whose covenant of peace will not be shaken. Even if the mountains are removed and the hills shake, His covenant of peace will not be shaken. Praise the Lord. Today I want to talk about the process of covenant. The process of covenant that God means to fashion in each one of us uniquely. Right? So let's turn to the book of Exodus. Familiar passages of scripture. Let's just go over them very quickly. Exodus 31 verse 18. And when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Exodus chapter 32 verse 15 and 16. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. Tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other. And the tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. So this was symbolically manifested in the Old Testament, and those two tablets of the testimony were put into the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was also called the Ark of the Testimony. It was also called the Ark of God. It was also called by the name of the Lord of Hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth. It was also called the Ark of God's Might. And we've done teaching on all of these things. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3. And God is taking each one of us and He's bringing us forth as unique epistles. And this is what the scripture reads. You are a letter of Christ. If you have a King James Bible, it says you are an epistle of Christ. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Praise the Lord. Tablets of human hearts. So what is God doing in the tablets of human hearts? Right? Of flesh, right? Fleshly tablets of human hearts. That's what the King James Bible reads. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And God announces, Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, from verse 31 to 34. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So God means to write a covenant in our hearts from the testimony that He brings into our life. And obviously the testimony that God brings into each one of our lives is going to be a unique testimony, and it's going to result in a unique covenant. And God says He will put this covenant into our hearts. And God says this covenant that He writes is going to be written by the finger of God. And the substance of this covenant that is going to form your heart is going to be of the flesh of the Lamb. Hearts of flesh, the flesh of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Now what does that mean? What is God trying to do as He forms covenant with us? Let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 28. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 28. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak. But the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. So this covenant is written in what is called the word of the oath. The word of the oath which came after the law, and it's based on the son made perfect forever. So we come back to our verse in John chapter 1 verse 16. My favorite verse. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And grace and truth realized result in a covenant that is fashioned and formed in our hearts. And that covenant that is fashioned and formed in our hearts is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And the fullness of Jesus Christ results in a heart of flesh. We are fashioned and formed in the substance of the Master's fullness. And this covenant God wants to shape and form into our hearts. And with this covenant, God will raise each one of us to stand in unique positions in the mount of the Lord. So God gives us a picture that we are members of the body of Christ. Each one of us has a function. Each one of us has a function. And God describes this functional position by telling us that we are like the human body. The human body has got many members, and each member of the human body has got a unique function. But in saying that, you must always remember that every function is based on the fact that we are sons of God. So, I don't want you to get this picture that you are a toe or you are a fingernail or something like that. God is telling you that you are sons of God. What he is doing is he's using the human body as an illustration that every person has a unique function. All right? But that unique function is opened in the reality that you are sons of God, that you are a royal priesthood, you are kings, you are called to hold authority and position in the kingdom of God, and you are called to be a prophetic people. You are meant to reveal the word of God, and when the word of God is manifested from you, that word will be performed. So, although God gives us a picture that we are members of the body of Christ, don't think that being members of the body of Christ, right, means that some of us are going to be doing mundane, uninteresting kind of work. No, it's not. It's very exciting what God has got for us, right? Because he will always give us his best. Because of the fullness of Jesus Christ we have all received. And the fullness of Jesus Christ will be very, very exciting, because the potentials of the fullness of Jesus Christ will be amazing, right? So you and I have a great destiny. You and I have an amazing purpose. We are being built, right, from simple beginnings into what God is going to unveil as the sons of God. We are going to be a royal household. Right, kings in the making, kings in the reigning, all right? And our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be our king in our hearts. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 7 verse 22, it says, the second half of that verse, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant, right? Hebrews chapter 7 verse 22, Jesus has become a guarantee of a better covenant. Amen? A better covenant, okay? And how is this covenant being fashioned and formed inside of you? It's being fashioned and formed even as Jesus Christ is the mediator of this covenant, right? Chapter 9 of Hebrews, right? Chapter 9 of Hebrews verse 15. And for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, right? A mediator of a new covenant, praise the Lord. And that covenant, right, is going to be based on the merits of the Lamb. It's going to be based on what he has achieved, right? And this covenant is going to be written into our hearts based on the status of Jesus Christ in our lives. So it's very important for us to understand that the unveiling of this covenant is dependent on how we regard Jesus Christ as our Lord, because he is the one who is the basis on which this covenant is being mediated into our hearts. We are not realizing a covenant based on our own merits. We are realizing a covenant based on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, based on his faith and his love, based on his character and his nature, based on his thoughts, based on all that he has achieved for us. And as we receive and realize of the fullness of Jesus Christ, God is building us in covenant in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? So this is not a covenant based on merit, right? The old covenant was based on, in a sense, on the merits of the law. And if you sinned, you are punished. The New Testament covenant is based The new covenant is based on the righteousness of God manifested to us in Jesus Christ. And we are each called to become a covenant people. And as God builds the covenant inside of us, the hallmark of the covenant realized inside of us is that peace that passeth all understanding. That peace that passeth all understanding. As we grow in the Lord, that peace will increase. As we grow in the Lord, the power of that peace will increase. The confidence that comes in that peace will increase. The faith in which that peace will stand will increase. The love, the intimacy in it which that peace will be manifested will increase in our lives. And so we are called to grow into this reality of being in covenant with God. So do not see your Christian life as being a religious vocation. It is not. It's a realization of covenant in God. It's a realization of what God has provided for you in Jesus Christ. So looking at the names of God that we have talked about so far to date, right? We started off with position before God, and this covenant means to bring you into a position before the Most High God. And that position, Psalm 91 verse 1 describes as the secret place of the Most High God. And that position stands under the shadow of the Almighty God, right? So you realize that position is something that God has chosen for you, and that position is yours forevermore. And you are in the process of realizing the covenant that God wants to write into your heart that will enable you to stand in that position. I want you to listen to the words that will enable you to stand in that position. Right? Right now you stand in a position before God. That position is going to keep on growing. As God builds the covenant into your heart, that position that you have in God will continue to grow. Right? So you need to understand that position, right, God has ordained in your heart based on His status as the Most High God. Nothing has been withheld from you. But in order to rise up to receive a covenant before the Most High God, you have to receive all things in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you don't, you will not have the status to be able to stand in such a position. So that status, that ability to stand in such high position comes to you from Jesus Christ. That's why John chapter 1 verse 16 is so important to us. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. It is the fullness of Jesus Christ that gives you a status to be in covenant with God. Right? It is what He has accomplished for you that enables you to stand in such high position before God. Are you with me? Right? In the Old Testament, when you look at it, you will find that God gave many promises to the people of the Old Testament. But no matter how great those promises were, the problem was simply that the people to whom those promises were given were unable to stand in the position that God was willing to give them. They could not stand in that position based on the merits of the law. Even Moses himself could not go into the promised land. So you need to understand that in the new covenant, God is doing a new work. And that work is a work of reconciliation. Right? So He is reconciling us to God. Right? God is reconciling us to Himself based on the merits of the Lamb. And this is very important for you to understand, because you cannot make covenant with God based on your own merits. This covenant is entirely based on the merits of the Lamb, because this covenant stands in the perfection of God. It stands in His oath. And the only one who can stand in oath with God is Jesus Christ. And so you and I stand in the name of Jesus before God. Right? And we will have no status before God without the merits of the Lamb. It's very important that you understand this. Okay? So the Most High God has given you a place. El Shaddai has given you a place under the shadow of His wings. So God says, this position I will invest with My power. But that power God has not given to us directly from God. He has given it to us through the Son. So if you go back to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 and 18 and 19, It says that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards you who believe. Right? So El Shaddai, yes, you have a position. That position is that you will be overshadowed by the Almighty God. But that position stands based on the power that God has released to you in the name of Jesus. That position is not given to you in a vacuum. It is not given to you, right, in the way in which it was a position was given to Lucifer. Lucifer was anointed and raised to high position, and he could not hold that position, right? So now God gives us position based on the merits of the Lamb who stands in our heart as our Lord and our beloved. So you will find when God actually brings this covenant into fullness into our lives, it will be through a marriage covenant. A marriage covenant in which the two shall become one flesh. So it's very important for you to understand that everything in this covenant stands in the name of Jesus. And everything that stands in the name of Jesus is written into you by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because the unveiling of the finger of God is the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you that. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15 and 16. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and upon their mind I will write them." Right? "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." So who is the person who is going to do this work? This writing of the covenant into our hearts, he is the person of the Holy Spirit. But what he does is going to be manifested in you of Jesus Christ. The witness that he's going to bring into you is the witness of Jesus Christ in spirit, water and blood. And the substance of the heart of flesh is going to be of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I are being fashioned and formed in substance and in witness that is of Jesus Christ, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, so that we can stand in covenant with God our Father. Can you see that? And all this is very personal and intimate to you. And this is what the process of salvation opens to you. Salvation results in a covenant being fashioned and formed in your heart. Because without that covenant, without that oath of God standing in your heart, your salvation will not stand the test of time. So you will find that the first thing that God did when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt was he brought them to Mount Sinai and he made covenant with them. He made covenant with them by law. Are you with me? He said, "You are chosen people. I have chosen you not because of your merits, but because I have chosen you." Right? "And I've chosen you so that I can make a covenant with you. And this covenant is a covenant of blessing. If you will give heed to my voice, if you will give heed to my commandments, if you will give heed to my words, you will be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not beneath. You will be blessed wherever you go. If your enemies come against you one way, they will flee from you seven ways," God said. And he gave them so many blessings and promises, right? But they were unable to stand in that position. So today we stand as a people that God has purchased in the blood of the Lamb. Right? And that's very important, because what God is doing with you and me is that he is making covenant through the blood of the Lamb. And what's so special about the blood of the Lamb? Very simple, because the blood of the Lamb is a living expression of a perfect faith and a perfect love that Jesus Christ gave you and me on the cross. The blood of the Lamb stands for the forgiveness that Jesus Christ was willing to express to us even as his blood was shed. The blood of the Lamb represents the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I need in order to be able to stand in covenant with God. Can you see that? It represents a thought process before God. It represents a relationship before God. Because that blood of the Lamb represents the relationship of Jesus Christ with His God. So the Messiah came in order to express a perfect relationship between God and man. And so Jesus Christ is the mediator of the covenant. And that covenant is going to be written into your hearts based on His fullness brought into you by the Holy Spirit. And so everything that is in the fullness of Jesus Christ is brought to you through the Word of God. So when you read the Word of God, you're not just simply reading something for information. You're not merely reading a principle. You're not merely reading a law that God demands observance of. You have to realize the reality that God has given you when Jesus Christ came, He lived, and He expressed a sacrifice for you. He fulfilled that law, and He fulfilled the prophets for you. He made all of the promises that will be the basis of this covenant alive to you in His merits. And so you and I must understand that we must always keep on growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He must become preeminent in our hearts. Because if He is not preeminent in our hearts, there is no basis for covenant to be formed inside of us. We only come to belong to God when that covenant is fully fashioned into the tablets of our heart. And the evidence of that covenant is this, that you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you will love your neighbor as yourself. Now that is the character and nature of Jesus Christ, perfected and formed inside of you. Now why is that character and nature so important to the covenant that God is making? Because once there was an angel called Lucifer, who was given high position, who was given a position of being the foremost of the creation. He was called Son of the Dawn, Star of the Morning. He was Son of the Dawn. Every new thing that God was going to bring forth was going to be unveiled through this angel who was called Lucifer. And he fell because he was a crook. He fell because he was a selfish, self-centered, prideful so-and-so. So although God's intentions with him were great, awesome, actually unbelievable that God would actually bestow on a single creature so much of blessing, right? But he failed. He failed miserably because he decided that he wanted to be God himself. And he led 1/3 of the angels into destruction when they all had positions before God. Positions they never appreciated that they never really deserved. Right? Positions God gave them because he simply chose to love them. God called them his sons. He called them morning stars. Now we too are being fashioned as morning stars. Right? So as the prophetic word is made manifest in our hearts, we unveil as morning stars. Now morning stars comes out of the word that God performs in your heart. You find that in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. That the prophetic word is made more sure in your heart. Right? So that as the word is manifested inside of you, it comes alive in you as a morning star. Right? A ball of fire. Light. Pure light. But that light is entirely conformed to Jesus Christ, who is called the bright morning star. So God fashions covenant out of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? God fashions covenant out of Jesus Christ into your being. That's why John 1:16 is probably the most important verse in the entire scriptures. Right? Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And when grace and truth are realized in Jesus Christ, the grace and truth realized make you sons of God who are in covenant with the living God. Sons of God who are able to stand in what God has sworn in the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So we are a new creation. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are created in Christ Jesus. So this covenant that God is writing into our lives is a covenant of creation. It's a creative work. And as that creation manifests in you, you will realize a greater and greater peace in the Lord. A peace that says that God is doing a great work. He's doing a great, and is accomplishing a great work in your life. It's a covenant, right? The Christian, the word of God is written so that it will become a covenant in the hearts of men. All right? So that covenant comes to us through what Jesus calls my words. My words. All right? Let's turn to that. John chapter, my words. John chapter 17, verse 8. John chapter 17, verse 8. For the words, the rhema, which thou gavest me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood. Praise the Lord. For the rhema, which thou gavest me, I have given to them. And those words are going to be the basis on which God is going to fashion and form covenant. Right? Remember in Isaiah 54 verse 10, it said that that covenant is indestructible. It cannot be shaken. It's a covenant of peace that cannot be shaken. Here Jesus says, these are his words. Alright? These are his words. These are the words that God has given. Right? God gives us the words that will become covenant through Jesus Christ. They are words that God has given, that Jesus is going to bring into our lives through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Alright? Let's turn to John 6:63. Jesus again talks about his words. And John 6:63 reads, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The rhema that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. The rhema that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So these are the words that the Spirit of God is going to fashion into your hearts. And these words are going to become substance inside of you. And these words are going to be indestructible. So if you go to Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, verse 33, Jesus again makes a dramatic statement here. Luke chapter 21, verse 33, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But the Greek word for words there is not rhema, it is logos. So rhema becomes substance, and the substance of rhema is logos. And the logos forms into your heart, right? That heart of flesh. So Jesus Christ is the logos word. And when we have eaten of his flesh, the logos word that is in him becomes the logos of our flesh. A heart of flesh. Can you see that? And so as Isaiah the prophet announced, right? This covenant is a covenant of peace that cannot be shaken. And Jesus says the same thing. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So you must understand that what my words mean is this, that we have to understand this entire Bible through the testimony of Jesus. When the Bible is explained to us through the testimony of Jesus, they become the words of Jesus Christ, and they become the basis in which the Holy Spirit can take those words and form them into our hearts, perfect them and complete them in our lives, so that we can be in covenant with God. Amen? So the Word of God is not there for knowledge or just for information. The Word of God is there so that we will realize what God intended with those words. Right? So when we talk about sowing and reaping, we think we understand it in our intellect. But Jesus sowed the seed with his life. Right? By giving us his fullness. That seed of the word is what is going to bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold in our lives. That's the word we are called to hear, to understand, right? To accept, to hold fast in a good and honest heart, and persevere with it in our lives. And as we do that, God fashions and forms covenant. When you accept the word of God, it becomes the basis in which God will write covenant into your heart. When you live it, That word becomes the implanted word inside of you. It becomes part and parcel of your being. And when that word is perfected and completed inside of you, it becomes covenant. It becomes an oath that God has written inside your heart. And that oath will always work in your life. And that's why Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you. It will be done for you. Right? Because the words in which we are asking has already been fashioned and formed into a covenant in our heart. And God has chosen to perform that word in our lives. So you and I have an immense potential in God. An immense potential. So, this is one of the reasons why you have to learn how to realize that covenant in your heart by asking the Holy Spirit to work into you the witness and testimony of Jesus. So watch that witness that is within you, that witness that God has defined in spirit, water and blood, because that witness is the witness of covenant. And when you really function in that witness, it will function in an atmosphere of peace. A peace. That although you may not understand where God is taking you, you will find that your witness, your inward spiritual senses, will always demonstrate peace. And that peace tells you that God is in charge, that He is leading you as your covenant partner. Right? He is leading you. Right? Because you are His son in covenant with Him. And He is bound to you by oath. He is bound to you by oath, even as you are bound to Him by oath through grace. You are bound to Him by oath too, by oath that Jesus Christ swore before God in His sacrifice. Right? So in Jesus Christ, we are able to keep covenant with God. We are able to honor the covenant in the merits of the Lamb. As long as we keep on living in Jesus Christ in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If you try and establish your Christian life in your merits before God, then this will not hold water anymore. Because then you have chosen to manifest before God your righteousness. And the Bible has already said, your righteousness and my righteousness is filthy rags. So God demonstrates that through the life of Moses, when Moses fails to go into the promised land. The man who through whom God gave the law was unable to meet the obligations of the covenant that God was willing to bring forth. And so you must understand that in Jesus Christ, you must always live, move, and have your being in the name of Jesus. Because if you don't, then this realization of the covenant will just stop. Because there's no basis for it. So the basis of this covenant with God is something you have to realize in the merits of the Lamb. Don't try and project your own merits. You have to learn how to do all things. I mean all things through Christ who strengthens you. Through Christ who strengthens you, you have to learn how to do all things. Because that is the basis on which covenant is going to be built. So you see, God is in the process of educating us, right? He's teaching us to do things differently, right? He's teaching us to walk by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 2 describes it as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets you free from the law of sin and death. Nothing else will. If you don't learn how to walk by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, you will not be set free from the law of sin and death. You will just keep on facing your own fleshly weaknesses. You will keep on facing your inability. Somewhere along the line, your inabilities, your character failures, your character flaws will come to the surface and you will come to a dead end. That is something we have experienced all our lives. That's what we see in the systems of the world. Man can have good intentions, but those good intentions never come to fruition. Because man basically doesn't have the character and the nature to be good. So God says, right, I've given you my son so that you can realize a new way of living. But this way of living is for you to realize all that I have given you in my Son, so that you can stand in covenant before me, so that I can perform that covenant in your life and bring you into a prosperity that will bless you in all eternity, cause you to be a blessing to nations in all eternity. Listening? So God is doing an immense work inside of us, a painstaking work, a careful work. We are not in competition with each other, because like I said earlier, right, that covenant is manifested to you in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Of his fullness we have all realized, we have all received grace upon grace. The position that God has given you is to unveil you in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty. You don't have to compete for that position, but you have to realize that position. And to realize that position, your focus must be on Jesus Christ, not on what the other guy next to you is doing. Not trying to compete with him. Right? Because if you compete with him, you have missed the whole idea of this covenant. This covenant is not about competition. This covenant is about you and I realizing the limitless potentials that we have in God. So those limitless potentials are available to you in conformance to Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Right? It's not going to come another way. Just because you show me, you compete with somebody else and show that you are 10 times better than him, means nothing. The criteria for whether you are better or not is based on who Jesus is in your life. It is not based on your merits. You understand what I'm trying to say here? Right? The substance has to be of Jesus Christ. If the substance is of something else, it isn't going to be of any value. You may look better than the other guy for a time and a season, and then one day you will die and that's the end of it. Right? But what is written into your heart, right? What is written and fashioned into your soul, what is circumcised by the Holy Spirit so that it is something that is standing in you in the merits and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is something that will stand forever. And that's what God is focused on. Building your inward parts in covenant with him in the merits of the Lamb. Are you with me? So that's why in the church we all do what we are called to do. If you're called to do a small thing, do the small thing, because God is not going to measure your performance based on whether you did small things or big things. He's going to measure it based on how you did it. On whether you did it in the name of Jesus or you did it in your own name. If you did it in your own name, you have failed. If you did it in the name of Jesus, then you have done it well. And God will reward you in the stature of how you have done it in Jesus' name. Can you see that? So in the church we have, apparently, seemingly from our own fleshly carnal perceptions, we seem to have different positions, right? Some of us do bigger works than others, and some of us stand behind pulpits and we address more people, and others sit down in their prayer closet and they pray. But God is not going to measure based on how many people you ostensibly touched. God is going to base it just like he rewarded that woman who gave 2 mites. What do you do with 2 mites? You can't do anything with 2 mites. But Jesus Christ rewarded that woman with 2 mites far more than those guys who brought bags of gold. Right? He rewarded her more than all of them put together. He saw her in a higher status than all of those guys who brought bags of gold. So Jesus Christ saw that woman who gave 2 mites and saw her in a far higher plane than all those guys who brought bags of gold. Are you with me? So when God is writing covenant with you, it is not based on what is happening outside of you. It is based on what is happening inside of you. It is based on your thought processes. It is based on your intents. It is based on the desires of your heart. It is based on your relationship with God. It is based on how much you really glorify the Lord your God from your inside parts. Right? So there's nothing unfair about how God puts us in different positions in the body of Christ. He's not discriminating. He's not discriminating at all. Right? Just because I stand as a pastor doesn't mean I stand in a higher plane than any one of you. Doesn't follow like that. I will be measured and you will be measured on the same criteria based on who is Jesus in your heart at the end of it all. How have we expressed His love? How have we reciprocated His love? How have we responded to Him? How have we functioned with the Holy Spirit? Right? Because covenant function is based on partnership with the Holy Spirit. Covenant status is defined in Jesus Christ, but covenant function is defined with how you live and function by the Holy Spirit. Right? And ultimately, covenant stands in how you hello your Father in heaven. How you see Him. Right? So on that basis of who God is and all that God is, which is why we are doing this series on unveiling the name of God, because ultimately everything is measured based on who God is and all that God is, because everything has to stand, everything has to derive from God. This covenant is His idea. And God does not discriminate. He is by nature honest, a person of integrity. Right? He epitomizes love, He epitomizes righteousness, He epitomizes judgments in righteousness, right? And holiness of the truth. So God does not tell lies. God does not discriminate because He doesn't like the skin of your color, or He doesn't like which part of society you came from, or He doesn't like what your grandfather did or your grandmother did. He doesn't come like that. All right? Hello. God judges all things based on how you respond to Him. That's all. Right? Not based on what your forefathers have done. Because you are purchased in the blood of the Lamb. And no matter where you have come from, God has, in Jesus Christ, in the merits of Jesus Christ, decided to make covenant with you. So don't blow the chance. Don't blow the opportunity. Don't blow it for carnal reasons. It is foolish. Don't give vent to your anger. Right? Realize the goodness of Jesus Christ. Don't try and justify yourself, because ultimately we are only justified by God. And that justification is based on the covenant that stands in your heart before God. Nobody can cook up something. Nobody can pull something out of the bag before God. God will judge all things based on His merits, based on His stature, based on how He sees all things, and based on how you have responded to Him. So always understand, whether you're doing small things or big things, it is all based on your response to God. It's all based on your response to Him. And your response to Him must be a response in the understanding of His grace, His mercy, and His love, and His forgiveness. Also, your response must be in the light of His judgments, because God does correct us and mold us. God does take us through difficulties, because He is perfecting us and He is fashioning us, because He is correcting us and He is molding us, because He is interested in the end product, which is the covenant in your heart. And He will deal with everything in your life that is a hindrance to this covenant being formed. Right? So if you have a dishonest streak, or you have a prideful streak, or if you have an angry streak, or if you have a lustful streak, God will deal with it. And He will deal with it. If you don't respond to His mercy and His grace, then He will deal with it with a iron hand. So if you go back and read the Old Testament, ultimately God was forced to deal with the nation of Israel with an iron hand. And if you look at your life, if you don't listen to the Lord, then He is forced to take you through a situation that will really be painful. Yeah? Because you refuse to listen. You refuse to respond to God in the right way. Right? So never blame other people for what's not happening in your life. Because turn to the Lord. He is your provider. Right? And He has provided for you in the Son. So this covenant is God's provision in the Son. The entire covenant is an expression of the fullness of the Son inside of you. God is the shepherd. So in making this covenant, He's going to lead you step by step. Whether you can understand Him or you don't understand Him, or whether you know what's happening in your life or you don't know what's happening in your life, be sure that God is leading you. Even in the midst of disaster, God is still leading you. Now, there may be many reasons why you are in that disaster, most of which we can't explain. But But you can be sure that God is dealing with you. God is leading you. God is your healer. So in order to make this covenant come alive in you, God has to heal you. He's got to deliver you. Amen. God is also your banner. And He is going to take you, and He's going to take you into battle. He's going to take you into battle so that you can deal with those strongholds, right, that Satan has built into your life over your generations. And He's going to ask you to stand up and fight. Right? He's going to ask you to do battle with Amalek from generation to generation. Yahweh Nisi. Then, when the battle is being won, He will bring you into rest. Right? And this covenant is a covenant of rest, because this covenant represents the work of God. It does not represent the work of a denomination. It does not represent the work of a church. It doesn't represent the work of some super anointed superheroes. Right? It represents entirely and exclusively the workmanship of God. And so you must understand, you have to come to rest in God. If you don't rest in God, this work cannot be completed. Praise the Lord. Right. When you learn to rest in God, then God manifests His victory. And that victory is Yahweh Shalom. And Yahweh Shalom is the manifestation of a covenant of peace in your heart. So when we go into the next name, Yahweh Sidkenu, you will find that the result of that peace is the handiwork of Yahweh Sidkenu. It's the result of His righteousness. And when this covenant is alive in you, then comes the final name of God, which says, Yahweh Shammah, I'm always there. You will always be alive to God, online, all the time, 24 hours of the day. Conscious terms, subconscious terms, unconscious terms. All the time you will be alive to God, at the speed of thought. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Yeah? And you must understand, Yahweh Shammah is thrilling because God will save you, and He will keep on doing it because He's online with you. Everything. He will deal with your ugly side, your not so nice side, and your good side. Everything. He will deal with the whole thing with His presence being there all the time. He's probably doing it right now, but we don't realize it. But one day we will be conscious of the fact that we are alive to God all the time. And then you will be able to function by your God all the time. In everything that you do. That's exciting. That's exciting. Right? Because the stature of God is limitless. And in God, your potentials are limitless. But your potentials are entirely conformed to Christ Jesus. They're entirely conformed to partnership with the Holy Spirit. They're entirely conformed to the Father's will. Amen? And when these things, these ingredients are there, you will always be able to measure the peace that keeps on growing inside of you. Amen? The peace that passeth all understanding. God's wonderful. That's why the prophet said, Jesus Christ is wonderful. Right? That He is wonderful. That He is the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen? So the Prince of Peace is going to be your husband. Right? And this covenant of peace is going to be manifested in a marriage covenant. Two hearts fashioned in one flesh. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for the kind intentions of Your will. We thank You, Lord, that it is Your intent to fashion and form covenant with each one of us. And for that purpose, You sent Your Son to die for us, Lord. To pay a price for us, Lord. So that in His merits, in His character, in His nature, through His faith and through His love, and through His forgiveness, through everything that stands in the witness and testimony of Jesus, we will, by the Holy Spirit, be brought into covenant with the Most High God. And that's awesome, Father. We thank You, Lord, for this awesome reality that You are manifesting in our lives. We want to bless You. We want to thank You for what You have spoken into our lives today. We thank You that You are Yahweh Shalom, and we pray that You will always be Yahweh Shalom to us. In every moment of space and time, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms, so that we will truly rest in You, knowing, Lord, that You have withheld no good thing from any one of us, Lord. That, Lord, You are not a God who discriminates, Lord. We are all Your sons, and all of us stand before You in the substance and the fullness of Jesus Christ. We stand before You in the witness He consecrated through the cross in spirit, water, and blood. And, Lord, that witness in blood is a blood covenant witness, Lord. And we thank You that blood covenant witness is the realization of the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the amen of your will. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the worship and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this is why when God brought Abraham out, the first name that he introduced to him was Yahweh Elyon. And what did Melchizedek do? He brought out bread and wine. Right? What do bread and wine represent? The prophetic elements that will be the basis of covenant. Right? Bread representing the substance of covenant, wine representing the new life through the witness that will come to you, right? In covenant. Praise the Lord. So amazing that the Most High God wants to be in covenant with you and me. If we take the entire universe and laid it out, and you put yourself inside of that, I think you and I will be many, 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 many millions of times smaller than an ant. And this being who is a millions of times smaller than an ant in the perspective of the creation, God wants to make covenant with. How do you like that? The God who says, I hang the planets as if they were curtains, right? Wants to have covenant with you. Isn't that awesome? Amazing. Phenomenal. Your mind and my mind can't comprehend it, right? Just imagine you're watching this ant crawling on the floor and you're saying, ant, I love you so much that I'm going to come and become an ant and die for you so that I can make covenant with you, ant. Isn't that ridiculous? Just imagine God making covenant with you is even more ridiculous than you making a covenant with an ant. Praise the Lord. God is wonderful. Don't miss him for anything. Right? Amen. God bless.